from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
No, that's not fair, and I'm guessing that executive will be looking for work sooner rather than later if that's his analysis of Josh Allen. To call him one of the more overrated quarterbacks is asinine, in my opinion.
Mike Danger.
It's a celebration. We're gonna celebrate, pal. Happy football. It's here.
Football! Football! Yes!
Gene Battaglia.
Josh Allen, you know, good that he's relaxing, having some fun at Tahoe, shooting baskets. I don't know if you saw that, but what can Josh Allen actually do to be better this year to get to the Buffalo Bills where they need to be?
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
A very good afternoon to you as we welcome you on into Rochester's only local sports talk show. It's a Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia, 95.7 FM. AM 950. We sound our best in the free-to-download Odyssey app or on your smart device when you ask it to play 95.7 The Fan. And you can also check out the video stream. We're up on our YouTube channel at The Fan Rochester, also streaming on Twitch. I'm Danger. That's Battaglia.
Got caught without an umbrella today. Another downpour. You would think I would have learned here from Sunday and from yesterday, and it was in the forecast, but then shame on me. And I show up looking like a wet skunk at a sales call today.
This is one area where I am jealous of you going home, of you going bald. Because if you do get caught in the rain and you're still sporting some hair, it can ruin your day. I just know this from the other day when I went out in the rainstorm on Sunday after I had just gotten out of the shower. I went back out for basically a second shower, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh my God, I'm drenched. And if this was like me walking down the street or at work or what, miserable. I'd be miserable the rest of the day. Not you, Gino. You just take a towel.
Oh, everything's fine. Like
you
in
even
a couple
air
minutes.
Dry.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little air dry.
Yeah, we're all good.
Get a little breeze as you're walking.
Everything's good, but you know, I have made that decision a few years ago and not ready for an intervention yet, Danger.
Oh,
but
I'm not ready. No, it's not going to happen. No. I'm not doing that.
No, but I don't want you to be like a Spizzano with the reversing ankle.
Spizzano's, for his age, Spizzano's a damn good-looking guy. I would be that. I would take that at his age. I would absolutely take that. I'm not going to complain about that. How much rain are we going to get, by the way? It feels like it hasn't stopped.
My Danger, welcome.
Hey.
Welcome to the Sports Bar. I'm so happy that you invited me on the show here. Yeah. Yes, very dangerous yesterday with the quarter, half-inch size hail. Did you see that in Victor?
Where can we watch more of your work, Count?
How do you not know by now? 13 VAM. Watch at 6 o'clock tonight.
13 what?
13 VAM.
VAM? 13 VAM?
W-H-A-M.
Okay. Well, we got one of your colleagues joining us today.
Mike Catalana, 13 Wham. And At some point, I think Hatsko's probably going to say, okay, guys, cease and desist.
Yeah, what exactly did he do to deserve us?
How do we even get on that?
I have no idea.
I don't
you
even
just
know.
Pulled Hatsko out of the sky one day. And I like Hatsko. I've engaged with him a couple of different times. I know he's a Vikings fan.
I've never met the guy. I'd like to think I've met everybody in Rochester, but no, that's not the case.
I don't even hold it against him that he's a Vikings fan. But yeah, I don't know. But we'll have his colleague, Mike Catalana, the Hall of Famer, by the way, going into the New York State Broadcasters Association Hall of Fame. The icon joins us right around 3:25.
Yeah, as Bill's rookies reporting. So if you're driving by Fisher and you're like, boy, that looks like camp because, well, this is closed to the public, but it's kind of beneficial to get the rookies in, get them acclimated, get them working here. So, again, we don't know what's going on exactly in those rookie practices, but get them learning. And then it all begins for everyone coming up next Wednesday, the 24th, as we will be out there. And certainly Mike Catalana, Buffalo Plus 13 Wham, will be one of the leaders here in the coverage. He will be joining us here to talk a little Buffalo Bills. And then, okay, the preemptive strike here. Oh, it's really cute, Metsy, that you have the third wild card. Go eat more ice cream and cotton candy, Gene, that you're all getting excited, okay? So that's off the table. It's off the table.
Just don't bring it up. If you bring it up, you're going to get what you get. Just don't bring it up. I would not bring it up. I wouldn't even bring it up.
You know, there was somebody else that we know that's a Phillies fan that went over to the Amherst offices today. And Mossbrooks is wearing a Phillies shirt. I'm just like, get that off. And he's like, no, this is our year. He's going down to Pittsburgh this weekend, he was telling me.
Okay.
And I'm just painting my dream scenario. My dream scenario being, like, after the Phillies did this a few years ago, the Mets in this expanded playoff, which I always hated, now will work to their benefit, and they'll get in the last wild card, they'll defeat Milwaukee, and then they will beat Philadelphia to advance to the NLCS.
This is sad.
It's not sad. It's plausible.
This is a sad, sad reality that you're living in right now. I mean, the next thing you know, somebody's going to ask you to sing a national anthem or something like that. You're completely wasted right now. I don't know what you're talking about.
She just entered rehab, she put out.
Yeah, I saw her statement, and I know that everybody wants to talk about it because it feels like that's all of America is talking about is, you know, somebody who butchered the anthem.
It was bad. It was bad.
I didn't hear it, but far be it from me to think that an artist who is trying to make a name for herself won't do something to draw more attention to her name, her brand. Even if it means going to, and I'm using air quotes here, rehab, and then releasing a statement saying that I hear rehab is fun. I'll let y'all know how it goes. I hear rehab is fun. Hey, how about you don't minimalize going to rehab? It's a place where sick people go. It's not really fun. And if you're lucky, you get out alive.
It's not a 28-day vacation. Can we put that?
It's fun. All I did was butcher the national anthem. Be thankful if you don't actually have a problem. And yeah, I just the whole thing is a little fishy to me. I don't like any of it.
Yeah, well, if she is going to rehab, we won't hear from her for a while.
If she's going to rehab and she truly needs rehab. And she truly is sick, then I hope she's getting the help she deserves.
We are so cynical, Danger, and I thought that for a second. Like, okay, an artist I've never heard of, majority of Americans never heard of. Do I want to make a name for myself and use this opportunity to sing the anthem really bad and then make myself the victim afterward and saying I had this real problem? That's a cynic in me that crosses my mind. I hope that's
okay,
not
okay, well, here's a harsh reality. Maybe I blow the lid off of part of the music industry and this gets me in trouble. But when an artist cancels a show or a tour because of health issues or vocal issues, I'm using huge exaggerated air quotes, do you think that it's really that or do you think it's, we're going to lose money if we continue with this tour or we go on with this show? Which one feels more plausible?
I would think it's the latter.
It's always about the money. If it wasn't, You wouldn't see a guy like Dave Grohl with one leg in a cast sitting in a throne performing live on stage. Because why? Because the Foo Fighters are making money at their shows.
Well, and maybe there was somebody else who was at this show. The group called Dukes of September Danger. I know you weren't there, but that was Donald Fagen and Boz Scaggs and Michael McDonald.
Boz Scaggs, who famously sings a song called Leo Shuffle.
Lido Shuffle,
oh,
as
right.
since I've learned. This is going back some years at CMAC, but Mike McDonald didn't have a voice that night.
Uh-huh.
He's out there. Saying, like, we're all looking at each other like, what are we even doing here? Get off. Like have like Fagen or somebody else do that. Okay. They didn't cancel that concert.
Right.
They didn't give the money back.
There was money to be made.
Yeah.
If there's money to be made, the show will go on. If things aren't looking good, if you stand to lose hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars, yeah, you can come up with a pretty significant ailment overnight. I mean, I'm on bed rest. I've got to get over this. My vocal cords are just, I'm not ready. I can't give you the show that y'all deserve. No, you're not selling tickets. That's the issue.
Well, I mean, baseball indirectly. I hate to say this, but home run derby last night where, and then,
No, it didn't do it for you.
No, maybe it was because Alonso.
He just didn't look right.
Grandpa throwing the balls
Alonso
out there.
Alonso looked tired, man.
No, but, and this was the thing. When we get to this point next year, hey, who should we bet on for the home run derby? The answer is no one. Because, no, it's not the batter. Can somebody properly serve up the meatball? That is going to be there. And if the pitch isn't coming in at the perfect angle, at the perfect speed, and the pitcher isn't in rhythm, good luck hitting all those home runs.
I sat that one out. I know I didn't say Teoscar Hernandez.
No, you said Witt.
I said Witt.
Witt made the final.
And Witt made the final. But Hernandez, first Dodger to win. I don't know if you heard that or not. First Dodger ever to win a home run derby. He was the 14th to try, so he gets the W last night, and I thought it was fun. It was tonight is the real meat though of All Star Weekend.
Yeah, and so Torrey Lovello is the manager. Lovello is the manager of the National League, and because he was the manager of the Diamondbacks. He actually has his wife is from Buffalo, so remember that he was with Sean McDermott last season. But whatever. Simple question, like Skeens, how long are you going to go tonight? His response, Danger. He would be surprised if he goes more than one inning because I've got 11 or 12 guys to work in. Since when did this become Little League that everybody has to play? But that's the case here. Like guys you don't care about are going to be out there in the seventh inning. This is all I'm asking. It's a simple ask because you have the leadoff batter, Kwan from Cleveland, Gunnar Henderson, Juan Soto. Plausible? Possible. Somewhere in between. That scheme goes boop, boop, boop. 1, 2, 3.
Sure.
You mean to tell me you wouldn't bring out Paul Skeens to face Aaron Judge to begin the second? Because Judge is batting cleanup.
Yeah. I think the only way you say Skeens versus Judge is if somehow somebody hits a single off of Skeens and Judge finds his way up to the plate in the first inning.
See, that's wrong. Like, at least get him out there for the one thing. I don't care if Paul Skeens is throwing underhand to Judge. Just give us that matchup.
I'm okay with it. Honestly, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with him doing one inning. I'm satiated with the fact that at least baseball got it right and started the kid instead of trying to figure out some other way. Or even worse, he just hasn't paid his dues yet. We need Paul Skeens to pay his dues because we don't want to showcase him on a grander stage and grow our sport, God forbid. I don't know. Does that sound familiar like any other leagues out there that might be holding superstars back from a bigger stage because they haven't paid their dues? It's ridiculous. I'm happy that he's out there.
Well, look, Jeff Hoffman, Tanner Scott, Robert Suarez, Kyle Finnegan from Washington. These are the relief pitchers. You have all these other starting pitchers. Christopher Sanchez, Logan Webb. You're not getting excited there about any of those guys.
No. Yeah, I think they get a lot of eyeballs early, and
click, click, click.
Yeah, and then you're out.
I mean, you're out.
I want to see what I want to see. And if I don't get the chance to see Paul Skeens in the second inning, that's fine. Let's see him to start. He's must-see TV. And for a lot of the country who haven't had a chance to see him, it'll be eye-opening. If he goes out there and he deals and it's 1-2-3, it'll be, if it's dominant, then you're like, yeah, kind of what we expected. That's how he's been all season.
Now, I got to take back what I said. I put the over-under way high. I'm going to let you do it. Over-under tonight on Paul Skeens' girlfriend. How many cutaways?
I'm saying, if he's only out there an inning, I think I said two. I'll go with two.
Oh, I'm going over two then.
I'm going with two. I think two. Is there an athlete right now, a professional athlete right now, who's living a better life than Paul Skeens? 22 years old, starting the All-Star game as a rookie. He's going to get a massive contract. His next contract is going to break the bank, whatever it is.
He's going to put mustaches back in style.
And he's dating Olivia Dunn, who's a celebrity. I mean, he's kind of got it all right now. Is there an athlete right now living a better life than Paul Skeens? I don't know that there is.
Mm. By our standards, right. It's
like, yeah, I'm kind of jealous. The guy has it all right now. 22 years old. Ace of the Pirates. I mean,
All right. I have to say it, Danger. For the 30-year-old category, 33-year-old Travis Kelce.
You think Travis Kelce's living a better life?
You can go anywhere in the world with...
Push back a little bit because he's got to spend the majority of his time with Taylor Swift.
That's
got to be terrible.
That's your opinion. A lot of people would say, if you put this to the poll, I would think...
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he sure looks like he's having a lot of fun.
How about our guy, Josh Allen?
Yeah, another one.
Yeah.
Hey, today, and it's funny, somebody threw this up on X earlier, and it literally happened a few seconds after Gino and I were just having the conversation. And we talked about it a little bit yesterday, this unnamed NFL executive that Jeremy Fowler is reporting saying that Josh Allen is overrated. And we talked about it yesterday as, you know, like we brought up to Ryan Talbot. You heard it in the open there. It's like, ugh, come on, really? Are you serious? And that train has left the station. There's a lot of people chiming in saying that executive doesn't know what they're talking about. If anything, Josh Allen is underrated when you consider everything that he's done. We always like to try and figure out why reports get released. And what the origin of that report is. What's it trying to accomplish? Where is it coming from? Consider the source. And this is an unnamed NFL executive.
Which I want to ask Catalan about this, like the do's and don'ts of the unnamed source. Because obviously if somebody is whispering in Fowler's ear, what's their agenda?
Well, let me, and this is what the user on X put out there. And I said it to Gene before we got on the air. I'm like, hey, what if the unnamed executive is actually Brandon Bean? What if Brandon Bean said, hey, Jeremy, you release this and you'll have a chip in the bank with me the next time we want to break some news. You'll be our guy. Just put it out there because I want him to play with a chip on his shoulder. I want to light a little fire under his ass.
I would think then that would break the code for any journalist. Because is it really the way the Bills feel about him, or is that we're using this as a motivational play? I thought that too. Like, wait a second, what if this actually came from Buffalo? And I think Fowler's too much of a pro to kind of see through that. I think it could just be as simple as, we talked to Thor Nystrom about this. Sometimes you go out to the hotel bar, you're seeing somebody, it's a different setting. What if it was just somebody over conversation, over drinks? Okay, I'm going to file that away.
Or... you can't let go of your biases from his college report, right? Like from his scouting report out of college. That you know, a lot of what he had in college from time to time will show up as a pro. I mean, you know, he's been fantastic. And it's hard for me to imagine that an NFL executive would look at that and be like, overrated. That I don't understand unless there's a motivating factor behind it. And I'm curious too. I mean, like we mentioned, it Josh Allen might be having Peter just put it to the poll on X. By the way, I mean that's our official pollster there, Peter on X, asking who's living the better life today: Travis Kelce, Paul Skeens, Josh Allen. You know, Josh Allen's living a pretty good life, but I also want to know, like, Josh Allen working with his new receivers outside of the OTAs, outside of organized team activities? Is he spending time with them? Is he throwing to them offsite? Is he doing little extra things that you hear the greats do all the time?
I don't know if he's wired like that. I'm being honest. He's certainly a phenomenal athlete. But then you read stories about Tom Brady and some of the things that he went through, and I'm sorry to bring up that name, but the ultimate competitors are just wired a little differently. And for Josh Allen, I'm going to say this. I think that he is wired a little bit that way, and that's why you see sad, mopey Josh after a game. Maybe if we can turn that into angry Josh, you know, that he is so invested into this team. But I would like to see him putting in a little bit more work. Maybe we observe that at training camp. Maybe we see a different Josh. To me, that is one of the storylines I don't think we put enough into. What's Josh Allen doing to develop his game and making sure that he becomes the leader of this team once and for all?
Well, the rookies have reported. The Bills are amongst eight NFL teams with rookies reporting today. Rookies for the Bears, Chiefs, Chargers, Dolphins, Saints, Giants, and Niners all reporting today. Rookies from all those teams. The other 23 teams start camp in the coming days. It was actually the Ravens who got the rookies into camp first. They got in on Saturday. Everybody back at training camp by July 24th. And I mentioned the Niners. They're in the headlines today because Brandon Ayuk has officially asked for a trade out of San Francisco after what he calls an offseason of unsuccessful attempts to reach an extension.
Mm.
He's entering his option year of his rookie deal. He's set to make $14.1 million this season. No, I don't think the Buffalo Bills will be in on Brandon Ayuk. I don't know that you have to, you know, I don't know that you want to give up the draft capital you would have to give to San Francisco to get him, and then I don't know that you want to pay him what he's looking for. I don't know that I don't know that Brandon Ayuk is a $30 million a year receiver.
No, that's the thing. Like, people are doing the math, like, hey, we can fit him under the cap. No, because he wants a new contract, okay? So that's also part of this. That limited cap space the Bills have, you're using that in case of an emergency. Like, what if you have a defensive lineman go down? What if you have a corner go down? I don't know what's going to happen, but you might have to go shopping, whether that's in August or September, and these guys sometimes cost money. So maybe you make a trade at some point, but I would rather hold on to that, because is Ayuk going to be the difference right now between you missing the playoffs or making the Super Bowl? I don't know. I don't think so.
The two teams most strongly linked to Ayuk would be Pittsburgh and Washington. If you're asking me, I think he stays with the Niners. This is like commonplace for the Niners. Guys hold out all the time. Guys want an extension, don't get it done. It happened recently with Deebo Samuel. Hell, it happened with our kicker. Robbie Gould went through this.
Yeah.
They eventually sign with the Niners. They get something done. Maybe he holds out a little bit. You get a little bit of camp drama, but I would anticipate that there isn't a team out there willing to give up the draft capital that the Niners are looking for. And on top of that, pay Brandon Ayuk what he's looking for. This is just the sad reality of Brandon Ayuk not realizing what his actual value is. Oh, we should mention also Brian Koziel is going to stop by the sports bar this afternoon.
Yeah, as it is the Open.
Yes.
The Open. Can't say British Open. I'm always envious of some of these tournaments, Danger. Certainly Augusta National. I've got my name in the lottery. So that'll become an annual thing where I don't get the tickets here. But some of these courses, boy, I'd love to check that out. Never once did I have the desire, like, oh, yeah, look at these people at the Scottish Open all frigid in the month of July here. So this is golf in the old world. It's fun to kind of bet on, certainly, but the conditions don't sound very kind to the golfers coming up this week.
All right, we'll get into that and more next with Brian Koziel. He stops by the Sports Bar 425. 13 WHAM Sports Director and Hall of Famer Mike Catalana joins us next in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on the Fan.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
It's the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Paul Skeens going against Corbin Burnes. Chris Brown has the interim tag taken off. Brown, the play-by-play announcer for the Buffalo Bills football, as you hear here on 95.7, The Fan, taking over for John Murphy. Bills rookies reporting today to St. John Fisher University. First full practice coming up on Wednesday the 24th. We'll talk some Bills football coming up next. 13 Wham and Buffalo Plus's Mike Catalana joining us here in the sports bar. San Francisco 49er wide receiver Brandon Ayuk has requested a trade. Sports is brought to you by GetMyPerks.com, where today you can half off to Lasertron in Henrietta, a $50 certificate for only half price. But this is not great deals. Log on to GetMyPerks.com today. Gene Taglin, the sports leader, The Fan Rochester.
They've raised the bar on Rochester Sports Talk. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
You know, I often wonder, Gino, if we continue to align ourselves with 13 Wham Sports Director and New York State Broadcasting Hall of Famer Mike Catalana, do you think someday within the next maybe, I don't know, 24 to 48 months, you and I maybe get that call to go into the hall just like the icon has? 24 to 48 months.
No, 24 to 48 years, I think. Would
maybe
be,
more
24 years, yeah.
Congratulations, maybe. Buddy. Mike, how are you?
All good, fellas. All good.
What is that? Because, like, when we see the NFL Hall of Fame, you see the guy, what was his name, David Baker, come out. And I don't even know if they still do that. But how do they let you know, Mike, that you're in the New York State Broadcasters Hall of Fame?
I will say it was kind of cool because I was literally driving to work and the phone rings and
I didn't recognize the number, but I picked up, and the guy told me it's the person from the New York State Broadcasters, and he said his name, and I mean, I wasn't expecting a call for anything, and then he said what they say in those circumstances, which was kind of cool. Is like, the guy says, his name is David Donovan. He says, this is the best part of my job. And then he proceeds to say, you've been elected to the New York State Broadcasters Hall of Fame, which was pretty cool. I mean, but I'm like in the car driving. And then he explains and he starts, you know, giving you some of the logistics. He's very complimentary. And the guy was super nice on the phone. And and for me, it's cool. You could get things, you can get awards, and it's nice. And I think most people would say, that's not why you do the job. But this one was pretty nice. I mean, I've been in New York State broadcasting for close to 40 years between Binghamton and then obviously the majority of time in Rochester. And the events in New York City, I mean, both my daughters are down there, so it'll be pretty cool when it comes about in October.
Love hearing it, Mike. Really happy for you. Congratulations again.
Thanks.
And because you have this long history of journalism and integrity, we thought you'd be a good person to ask about the quote that was circulating yesterday that Jeremy Fowler put out from an NFL executive that called Josh Allen overrated. Now, there's a school of thought, and whenever those quotes come out, we always kind of look at them sideways and say, all right, what's the purpose of that being released? Who's releasing it, and for what reason are you releasing it? And the thing that immediately popped into, and I don't want to speak for Gina, but I think both of our minds was, hey, what if it was Brandon Bean who put that out there just to let a little fire under Josh Allen's butt going into this season?
Oh, that would be interesting. It doesn't seem like a Bean move. Because we know his career is tied to Josh. I see what you're saying. That is funny. If it was a different guy, maybe I would think that way. I think there's plenty of fire for Josh. But that would be something. And I think the guy said, at least if I saw the quote today, was one of the most overrated players in the NFL. It's like, that word overrated is an interesting one too, because, you know, you might think a player is overrated because, I don't know, the general consensus is he's, you know, say like Josh, you might say, I think he's a little overrated. Maybe they'd have him closer to 8 or 9. I would tell you this, I don't know who the exec is, but I'm going to say there aren't many execs in the league who wouldn't have Josh in their top 3 of quarterbacks. So I don't know how much overrated you could be for whatever the reason is, but that would be interesting if it was Bede. Yeah, he's playing a little chess on Josh, you know, figures, you know, let's see if we can light a fire under him. So we'll have to ask Bean. He'll probably admit it if it was him, right?
Right. I guess, Mike, you know, help us out here. What are the do's and don'ts when it comes to using the unnamed source? Because, well, this takes on a whole different life, whoever this executive actually put their name on it. So where do you kind of draw the line in terms of, all right, we're going to report this, or no, this is a little far-fetched. Somebody has an agenda here.
Well, okay. When you do an article like this, it's strictly opinion. So I get why, if you're, let's just say, you know, it's, what's his name from the Jets, general manager, and Joe Douglas, and he decides he feels this way about Josh Allen. It's funny. If anybody had a reason to say it, it might be Joe Douglas, because the Jets defense usually plays well against Josh. But, you know, if he, it does him no good to say it. And the guy doing the article wants the quotes, but he knows most people, you know, why would you want that out there if you're a GM? You know, you could also just lie to the person doing the report. So I would say in that case, you get much more interesting things if people don't put their name to it. Now, if it is something factual and it's unnamed, that makes it a little different, only because, you know, say that person is saying to you, you know, we were trading, you know, an unnamed source within a team said, we look to trade player X, Y, or Z. And then you have to try to confirm it. So I get why sometimes people get upset about unnamed sources, you know. The guys in college football always yell, unnamed sources. Hey, let's be honest, guys. You know, that's how you get people to tell you things they would not tell you publicly. As long as you're confident as a reporter that it is factual. I mean, I could tell you one for me. When we broke the story about the PGA a few years ago coming back to Oak Hill, I mean, I had unnamed sources. I mean, I was not going to sell those people out for any particular reason. And I don't believe they would want to tell me with their name attached.
That makes sense because that's a fact. Like, that's a story. That's a fact. This is opinion. This is, all right, I still like wondering, like, what is the agenda? Like, what, who is actually whispering in the ear of Jeremy Fowler, hey, I can't tell you this, but he's overrated? Or is this just at the hotel bar over drinks? Like, that quarterback's overrated.
Sometimes guys just, I do believe there's people that just want that out there. They just want it out there because they get tired of hearing, you know, and this could be somebody who drafted the wrong guy or somebody, you know, hey, Dave Gettleman type, right, who was there with the number two pick and he ends up, you know, taking Saquon instead of taking Josh Allen. I mean, you want to say he's overrated? Like, okay. I'm not saying it was Dave Gettleman. I'm saying a person who just wants to get that out there. But it could be. I mean, again, I don't know who would have a motivation to really want to say that, but sometimes I think there's guys who just want their opinion out there, even if they don't want to tie their name to it. But hey, I got to tell you, speaking of that, like, have you guys watched the Hard Knocks with the Giants?
There have been bits and pieces crossing my feed that while it's interesting, I don't necessarily like how it portrays the players and the coaches that have been, and the GMs that have been showcased. Although I do find it interesting that it brings to light what a lot of us already knew, that these guys aren't just going up there to a press conference and winging it. They're prepared and they know bullets are going to come their way and how they're going to dodge those bullets.
So I watched it and I knew Joe, not well, but when he was in Joe Shane, when he was with the Bills, I got to tell you, honestly, I think he's the only one that looks bad in this whole thing. I'm stunned that there's quotes from him. You see him saying it, you know, critical of his quarterback, critical of Saquon Barkley. He has no reason to be that way. I mean, Barkley was a player there. They're probably right for letting him walk, you know, in terms of where the Giants are. But when you watch it, I'm kind of like, God, I can't believe he said those things on camera. And I would believe that if the NFL has any credibility with teams, if a GM said to them, I don't want that out there, I don't think it makes it on the show. I mean, I don't think you could get teams to agree to this without some ability to say, they caught that, I don't want it in there. I think the Jets said when they were in it, we don't want any players being released while it's on the show. So they didn't want to do that. So I found that to be very surprising. That Daboll comes out cool, because that's Daboll, just the way he is, especially in the second episode. But I found that interesting that you have quotes out there, especially about Daniel Jones, who's your quarterback, at least for now he is. So that part was interesting to me.
I think it's interesting, Mike, because there will come a day, and we're already seeing this the coming season, where they're going to do an AFC North where they'll bounce around. And these are teams that all made the postseason with the exception last year, Cincinnati, but they're a contender. And if you bring this back to Buffalo, I don't think Sean McDermott would welcome this at all. Like, you go back to previous regimes where there were a lot of loose lips, and at least one thing I can compliment about the Bills, they keep things pretty tight, where fans would love having that sort of access. I can't imagine. The Bills, I would see them actually fighting something like this tooth and nail.
Oh, I don't think they would want it, but I think there'd be, I think the Bills organization would probably handle it pretty well, because I don't think there is a lot of that. And I think there are, you know, there's some coaches who might want to talk a little bit more and all, but I think Sean would be Sean in it, and Brandon would be Brandon. And Brandon's a very good talker to tell you nothing, right? Or tell you just enough to give you a feeling like he told you something, but he doesn't really tell you anything. So it's kind of interesting. Some guys play up to the camera a little bit. I don't think that would be the case with the Bills. But then again, you never know what happens when those cameras are rolling in another place and something ends up on the air. So while we all want it, and I love when they do something and you get that feeling you're inside, I'm just surprised that teams say almost anything, because everything becomes a bigger deal when it's made public.
Mike, we were having a conversation before you joined us about which professional athlete might be living their best life right now. I think we all kind of come to the consensus that Paul Skeens may be that guy. But Josh Allen is definitely on the list because it feels like all summer long we've seen Josh living his best life. And my question is, have we heard any reports or seen or heard of Josh doing anything extra outside of OTAs with his new receiving core? Any workouts, any planned workouts? Would we hear about that? Because I feel like we would hear about it if it happened, but has it happened? Do we know if it's happened? Is there anything secret here before camp that would lead us to believe that Josh did maybe a little bit more than just live his best life this summer?
Well, there was one quick video from KJ Hamler, by the way, and I said it on our podcast, I'm not a good photographer, but KJ Hamler is worse than me. And it showed a bunch of the players around, and I believe Josh was there, and it looked like it was in Nashville. So I don't know if it was just a day they went out and, you know, threw some passes. It certainly gave the impression that there was something that they did. I think that was when Dawson Knox's wedding was going on, so it might have been tied to that somehow. I kind of like that stuff, and I don't even think of it like – It's more a little bit of bonding. And I've always been an advocate for that with a quarterback because, I mean, now the dynamic in that room, I mean, hey, listen, when you had Diggs there and before that, Emmanuel Sanders and Cole Beasley, you had some personalities. You had some guys that have been around as Josh was growing. I mean, the separation between quarterback and his players is pretty severe now, right? I mean, you got a bunch of guys who've been in whatever form they've been in around the league. You got rookies. You got guys like Curtis Samuel who've never had the quarterback. Like, it's Josh and a bunch of guys who are trying to find their way. And so I think him connecting with those players, and listen, he shows up at every OTA, you know, whether they're voluntary or mandatory, he's at everything. He's out there with the players, and I think he's a great teammate. But I don't know if that was just a one-day thing or an afternoon thing or 20 minutes. All I saw was that one video. But I like seeing things like that, and I think he's a pretty open teammate that way. But I think this year would be a good one, and that's why I think camp is good. He loves camp. Like, Josh really loves being at camp. So I think that part is good because he's connected with the whole roster. But I think, to your point, being a little extra connection with these wide receivers would be a good thing heading into the season.
Yeah, rookie's already in town, but fans and the rest of the media, everybody cannot go until next Wednesday. Mike, as we're kind of projecting ahead here, what do you think? We can, you know, kind of guess together, but what do you project as being some of the bigger storylines as camp opening? Certainly, you know, Keon Coleman and you know, Cole Bishop and some of the rookies we'll be looking at. But what will you be paying attention to come next Wednesday?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that wide receiver is going to be big. Like, how does this group look? How do these players look? Which players elevate themselves where you're not questioning at all where they are in the pecking order? You know, how do they look? And I think that's going to be a daily thing. I mean, because those roles were pretty defined up to this year. Like, you kind of knew what they were, and now it's not. So while I expect certain things out of a guy like Curtis Samuel, and you kind of know maybe who MBS has been, hey, look, it's a big opportunity for a guy like that, right? And you just don't know. So I think that, you know, first and foremost is going to be big. And then, honestly, I'm looking at some of the stuff on the D-line. Like, I still look at Von Miller as a, you know, obviously he did nothing last year. And then I look at him and say, are they planning on him jumping back in and being a, quote, starter on the defense? Or do they think of him more as a pass rusher and they want to get the most out of what is left of Von Miller? And maybe that's the way to do it. And maybe they rely more on A.J. Epenesa. I think it'll be interesting to see how they play out in the D-line. I think those, to me, are some of the most interesting. And seeing how healthy Milano is, too. Because Milano and Bernard together, when we look at last year, was all Milano. We didn't even know who was going to play in the middle. And then Bernard was fantastic. So if Milano is healthy, next to Bernard, that's one of, if not the best, multiple skilled linebacking duos that there is in the NFL.
I feel like we heard a steady drumbeat through the offseason that Kyrie Elam looks like a different player, and you had the chance to take in some of these OTAs and some of these sessions that the team held through the course of the offseason, Mike. What's Kyrie Elam's role going to be here as we head into camp? What do you project for the corner who, let's face it, last year was a massive disappointment?
Yeah, he was. And listen, John Butler, as a coach, did not like Elam. I don't think there was any question. It just didn't work. And the Bills had drafted him high. And there was a thought that maybe, you know, they would just move on from him. He has physical ability. Made a couple plays on the field, but even the one he made at home in the playoff game, he had gotten burned and had a penalty right before that. I mean, he wasn't great. He played without confidence to me, and they didn't have confidence in him. He just looked different. Now, listen, it's OTAs. It's practice. It's different. But he did look a little freer, a little happier, went to a single-digit number, which is – I always find those a little interesting. Because, you know, it's a little bit of a change, a little bit of a changed mindset. Listen, if he is a guy that can be, and I think he's behind Douglas and Benford. If he can be that guy that can play for you, even if he's not a starter or can step in when you need him to be, I think that would be huge for them. I mean, you've already, you committed the asset to him. I mean, getting rid of him for nothing, unless he can't play. Now, listen, he's going to have to show something, but I do think his mindset is different. And same organization, it's almost like getting traded for him, because I do think the coaches, Bobby Babich, everybody, I think, is looking at him with maybe different eyes this year than what he put himself in, and the way I think John Butler looked at him at that position.
Certainly, Dan Fates would say running the football is not the way to win games, but you need a good running tandem. And my question here, Mike, is about Ray Davis, because when the Bills drafted James Cook didn't have a lot of mileage on him, and you know, they kind of brought him along. Davis is the opposite, and at least on paper, you would think that's a potential upgrade over Latavius Murray. I guess the question is, as we're looking at camp, how do you think this... It has a whiff of fantasy, but honestly, I think it's a bigger question here. Like, could Davis actually challenge for more time as a rookie?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt. I think they really like James Cook. They like his skill set. He's got to hold on to the football. He's got to catch the football, right? And this team, if you look at their history with Brandon Bean, honestly, I think the amount of resources he's put into drafting running backs is substantial. And they've gotten good players. Like Devin Singletary was a good player. Not great, but good. You know, but they kept drafting. They kept trying to find somebody. Now you have James Cook who, hey, listen, I mean, he does show flashes, but they have very little tolerance for a guy who's going to put the ball on the floor or on the turf or not catch a pass. And he's done that for them, you know, and some fans would be like, why is he the one getting benched? Because they just aren't going to put up with that. So I think there's some pressure on Cook. And, yeah, I think Davis can be, like he's a running back and he's an older player and he's been on the field. I think he has every opportunity. And to your point, I think this team will run the ball more than they have in the past. I think that they certainly were trending in that direction. And, you know, now with the makeup of the wide receiver room and the way I think they want to play, I think that absolutely could happen. So yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all. I think he has a legitimate shot to get carries. And hey, and you know the way it works in this league, he'll play the hot player. And I don't think they'd have any issue putting him on the field if they felt confident. And James Cook's just going to be, you know, start out. Obviously, he's number one, but he's going to have to keep that spot.
Mike, we're looking forward to a week from Wednesday. We all get together again. We all hang out at St. John Fisher, Bills training camp. The boys back in town. And we don't need to talk about anything going on in Major League Baseball.
Hold on. Let me go grab my ice cream and cotton candy as I'm the kid at the circus that's too excited. I'm taking all the insults off the table for Mike here.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so, Mike, can we not enjoy as Met fans? There they are. Here we are. Hi. We're in the last wild card.
Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets.
You know what's going to happen, Gene. They're going to fall apart come August. See, I... Like,
first of all, yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead.
Stop here for a second. First of all, I don't speak like that. Okay? And neither does Dan. Here's what we're telling you. You guys are just good enough to have your souls crushed. Because you can say what you want. When they're doing their little high school musical thing out there on the field, you eat it up with the grimace and all this stuff. You just love all that stuff. And you talk amongst your little Mets buddies about this team, they could be dangerous. All they got to do is get in, right? This is what you say when you have those little Mets meetings.
He said it earlier today on the show. We have
Met meeting.
Roll the tape,
All right.
New format, new playoff format. They could upset the Phillies in the postseason, Mike.
Oh, of course they could. Yeah, I mean, they are, you know, they're that team. And it's kind of, I can't believe they haven't, like, signed Tommy Cutlets yet. Like, what is it with New York sports? Last year with the Giants with, you know, Tommy Cutlets, like it's a legitimate NFL player. And now you got the Mets doing, like, post-game teeny bopper concerts with one of the players.
I would just say it's a happier existence. Let's take your guy, Fates, every time on social media. Oh, this team, they can't bat, 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 talking about the Braves. Atlanta's in the first wild card. Atlanta's going to be in the postseason, like, bigger picture. We're having fun, Mike. You can't rain on my parade, my friend.
No, it's so good, though, because August is coming and then September. And then we know what's going to happen. I mean, you know what's going to happen. And you're going to go like look like Pete Alonso in the home run derby last night. Big expectations, and then just, you know, and then he just fell apart. What do you have, like three? And then sign him. You guys are going to sign him to some massive contract, and it'll be so much fun. But, Yeah, and you know, it's cute. Your stories are cute. You're like, you know, it's like single-A baseball kind of stuff. It's cute. Oh, he's going to sing at the end of the game. It's fine.
It's just, but I think my favorite is good enough to have your souls crushed.
That's why you took it away from us last year, because you quit.
Yeah.
You quit. And that's not what we want out of the Mets. We want hope. We want you to just look over that edge with a big smile on your face and then just watch you just fall backwards into the abyss.
No, I don't.
So good.
I don't need the Mets to make the World Series to make this a successful season. If the Mets can get in and knock off one of you two, and I'm talking about Atlanta.
Oh, my God.
Mike. What do you mean, oh, my God? This is the format. Did you not see what Arizona did last year?
Gotta help me.
So let me ask you this. The Phillies got, and they made the World Series.
Right.
Like, why wouldn't that be your goal?
Once you
get in the playoffs, your goal is to get to the World Series and win the World Series.
No, his goal is to beat the Braves or the Phillies. That's enough.
Yeah.
That's
well, good enough. You know, it could be, those teams could very well be standing in your way. And you can listen. You can have the post-game concert set up, and he can go out and sing, and, you know.
Grimace and the Hamburglar up on the field.
Oh,
big
God.
A parade of characters.
Like, jeez, like Dan Mason is going, my God, these guys have some ideas. I'm going to use them for AAA.
Mike, we'll see you next week at Fisher. Congratulations again on the Hall of Fame honor. Thanks for giving us your time, as always, bud. Catch up soon.
Anytime, guys. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Mike.
There he is, the Hall of Famer, 13-WHAM Sports Director Mike Catalano, stopping by the sports bar, talking some Buffalo Bills, and as expected, Gene, I wasn't going to go there.
No, it happens at the end of every conversation. every conversation.
Could have just ended it on a high note. We're going to see each other again next week in person. We're all going to be at Fisher together. It's going to be a great time. Thanks for the time. We don't have to talk about the home run derby last night or the All-Star game tonight or anything having to do with Major League Baseball. Just keep it football.
Keep it football focused.
It went there. It went there.
And if you think that's like a Catalana exclusive thing, I can't help myself. Like,
I know.
One of the few times I've talked to Brandon Bean just off, like, in danger was right there. I'm like,
he's a Braves guy.
Yeah, like, whoa. The Mets have just taken out the Braves.
Yeah.
I couldn't help myself.
I know. You need to stop.
I couldn't help myself.
You need to stop. You need to stop. That was fun. Appreciate Mike giving us some time. We're going to be joined next hour by Brian Koziel, the host of Tee to Green, and we'll get a preview of this weekend's The Open.
Yes, the final measure.
Mm-hmm. That's on the way, as well as your calls at 866-4326. I know you're gonna, now you're gonna turn the tables on me. You're gonna needle me a little bit, aren't you?
Well, couple things. First of all, before we do that, we have breaking news, which we'll give in the sports bar. Roma Dunze and Caleb Williams have signed.
Oh, Caleb did sign.
Caleb just signed. That just came across. We also have tickets today to give away.
Yeah, let's give away these tickets to see Train at Art Park. If you'd like to see maybe we can get Train to be the unofficial vocalist of the national anthem in the sports bar with Danger and Bottega. We have Pat Monahan to do it. Train's coming to Art Park. We have a pair of tickets for you right now. If you call her 5 at 866-4FAN, 866-4326. Free tickets to see Train at Art Park, courtesy of Live Nation, here in the sports bar with Danger and Bottega.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Bottega. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.